Well, here we are again. I'm Sean Eckford, member of the board of directors here at the Sunshine Coast Festival of the Written Arts and our podcaster in residence this year. I think when we left off yesterday, I almost put a curse on things by mentioning that it looked like we were going to dodge that big thunderstorm that was heading towards Seashelt. Well, we more or less did dodge it. A little bit of rain late at night, but not enough to disrupt Jane Urquhart's performance, which closed things on Friday. And I also mentioned at the end of yesterday's podcast that I was going to try and catch the end of Living Wild with Rosella Leslie and Nikki Van Schindel. I did manage to do that and caught up with them afterwards. Rosella Leslie's story, The Cougar Ladies, about Birgie Solberg, a woman well known here in Seashell. In fact, I remember her from my childhood days. A bit of a pioneer who came to town and usually made a splash when she did. And Rosella said that made it a little tricky in terms of telling the story because it was already so well known to people here at the festival.
It was very exciting. It was actually a little bit more nerve-wracking when you're dealing with a local audience because you know half the people, or a lot of the people in the audience, you don't want to disappoint.
Now, Nikki's book, Becoming Wild, focuses on her own experiences living far out in the wilderness, and there was a bit of a joke going around during the presentation about how she would react being in front of a very big crowd.
You know, I did sit under some cedar trees for quite a while I was getting ready for it, and I do have to take a break from the crowds and all of that, but it was nice to be on stage and feel the energy of the crowd.
I'm going to fast forward a bit to this morning, because also, when it comes to pre-presentation rituals, Carrie Snyder, who wrote Girl Runner, revealed one of hers when she was saying how impressed she was that there's a big crowd for the early morning performance.
I was so impressed at how many people were also up early. It was amazing.
Is that a runner thing?
I was wondering if maybe, yeah. I mean, I got up early and ran before I came here to give myself a, settle my nerves a little bit.
Retired CBC radio host Mark Forsyth moderated the Living Wild session, and it's one of about a bajillion things he's doing this year. Actually, he's involved in three events, one as an author and two as a moderator. And he was telling me about how that experience conducting a live interview on stage works.
Hopefully at the end, it all comes together. The authors have had a good chance to talk about their work and what they're excited about. And I have some questions that pique my interest from reading their work, and then the audience sort of seals the deal. And that's a great combination.
As an author, Mark was presenting about the First World War, along with Michael Winter, author of Into the Blizzard, Walking the Fields of the Newfoundland Dead. And Michael said there's something that still resonates about the First World War. In fact, to his mind, after working on this book, it's not over for many families.
It's as if they're directly connected to the first-hand experiences of what occurred 100 years ago. And I'm really impressed with people's abilities to inhabit feelings and experiences that have happened, not to them, but to people that they love, and they're not alive anymore, but the memory is still alive. And they hold on to it vigorously. It's a very important, visceral feeling they have.
The idea of events that resonate for a long time afterwards came up as well with Wabgishig Rice's presentation on his book Legacy. And there was an interesting phenomenon, we'll call it, in the Q&A session, because there weren't so much questions as people getting up to share observations and stories. And I asked Wab afterwards if that happens a lot when he's talking about his work.
Sometimes it's funny to get all kinds of questions about everything, right? About Indigenous issues here in Canada. But I think we need to be having these discussions anyway. And if that is an outlet for it, then I think it's a successful get-together in terms of sharing experiences and stories. So, yeah, it happens from time to time, but I'm honored with any opportunity like that.
I want to change direction a little bit now, because this event, of course, relies heavily on volunteers. And some of the most colorful volunteers of the stage group, those are the people you'll see in bright Hawaiian shirts. I had no idea why. So I talked to Wendy, Glenn, and Chris to find out just what the heck it was with the shirts.
10 years ago, all the stage guys had denim shirts, very
hot.
Hot,
yes.
And,
indeed,
you know, they looked kind of drab.
Long sleeves.
When Chris took over, he decided they needed something new and light and different. So he suggested that they all wear the Hawaiian shirts. And then they'd be able to find each other in the crowd. They would look different, and that was how it all started.
But high visibility and the light weight, because it can be very hot.
That's right. Most of these are sourced in Oregon thrift stores by Wendy's sister, who picks them up for a buck each in sorted sizes.
Some of us lucky and found actual made-in-Hawaii Hawaiian shirts with wooden buttons. And
collector's items.
Collector's items.
Yeah. But what happened was they were so popular that the guys in the audience all started wearing Hawaiian shirts.
Are we at the stage yet where they've become so fashionable that I know you do some of the merchandising, Wendy? Is that the next thing in the souvenir booth? Hawaiian shirts?
I think
festival stage manager shirt
I
for
think
sale.
You're onto something, Sean.
And I think I'll finish up today with a little bit of a look ahead. I mentioned that Mark Forsyth is involved in 20 gajillion events here at the festival. The one on Sunday is the New Voices, which is going to feature Doretta Lau and Aaron Shepherd. And I asked Mark what it is about New Voices and why it's such an important part of the festival.
I think because it's so well attended and the standard is so high in the people that they select, the two go together. People know that when they come to the festival that they're going to be hearing from authors who really do have something to say. And in the case of New Voices, they're the rising stars, and they have gone on from past years to be people that we read now.
And I think that's definitely where we're going to have to leave it, because we have gone a smidge over our time. So we'll catch up tomorrow.